We have the technology. Woohoo! We're on. I needed more batteries. The system works. Okay, good morning. So I need some helpers to tell the story. Teddy, you're a keen bean. So I've got one. Teddy, would you be Peter for me? So this is Peter, he's our fisherman. And you need six friends. So could you go and get six friends to help you? Oh. And he's off. Here we go. Come on up if you're six friends. I also need Jesus. Sorry, Marilyn, you don't quite qualify for Jesus. Nearly. Samuel, you look like Jesus. Could you come and be Jesus? Oh, yes, you do. Could you come and be Jesus? You can kind of be at the side for the moment. How many have we got? One, two, three. Oh, we need some more. We needed six friends. Come on, guys. We need some volunteers. Joe's a friend, Teddy. She looks like a good friend. Who else? Marilyn's a friend. How many have we got, Teddy? You needed two more friends. Isaac's coming. One more friend. Hang on. No, there's one here. There's one coming. There's a little one coming. Yeah. Come on. Bring the rabbit as well. He can come. Okay. Oh, I've lost my notes. I know. Okay. So Peter was together with six of his friends. And it was after the time when Jesus had died, and then he'd come back to life, and that some of them had already seen Jesus. But this time, Peter and six of his friends were together. And Peter said, I'm going fishing. And his friends said, we'll come with you. Come on then. So here's your boat. Can you get in? You might have to spill out of the back of your boat a bit. Marilyn, do you want to sit here and be at the back of the boat? Can you come? You can sit on there if you want. Or just, can you get in? You can sit if you like. I don't think it's very safe standing in a boat. Okay. And you're going fishing, so you might need a fishing rod. Okay, you hold it over there, sort of down. Because it needs to be in the water, doesn't it? Okay, good job. So you went fishing. No, the water's... This is the boat, Marilyn. It might look like a swimming pool, but it's a boat. And they fished all night. How are you feeling? You've been fishing all night. How are you feeling?
I need sleep.
You need sleep. How are you feeling? You've been fishing all night.
Tired.
And you know what? They caught nothing. Not one fish. So can you look a bit sad because you've been fishing all night and you've caught no fish? But early in the morning, Jesus was on the beach. And he shouted out, sunglasses, shade, book. It's a cloudy day, okay. And Jesus shouted to them, have you caught any fish? No, not one. So Jesus said, throw the nets on the right side. And do you know what happened? When they threw that net over the other side, this side, the right side, dangerous here. Do you know what happened? They caught a massive amount of fish. Can you read how many fish you caught? Can you read what that number says? 153 fish. Wow. And John, this is John, said, this is a miracle. So John suddenly realizes something about who it is on the beach, and he says,
Jesus.
It's Jesus. And Peter jumps into the water and swims to Jesus. Now, Jesus is on the beach with a fire. Some fish and some bread. And Jesus says to the disciples, come and have breakfast. So the other disciples took the boat to the shore. They didn't swim. They were very sensible. So you can get to the shore. Right, you can climb out. Go and sit round that lovely warm fire. You're going to tip around. Sit round that lovely warm fire with Jesus. Good. Tie the boat up. Nice. Budding fishermen, they. Nice. So, and Jesus has made you a nice tuna sandwich. Nice, Samuel. Very good. Okay. And they sat and they ate their breakfast with Jesus. And Jesus wanted to talk to Peter. Can you remember that actually when Jesus was crucified on the cross, Jesus had told Peter that actually he would find it really difficult to stay strong. But Peter had said, no, I won't run from, I'll stay with you, I'll go with you anywhere. But actually when Jesus was being questioned, Peter said, I don't know Jesus. I don't know who this man is. And then he felt really bad. And so this is the time where Jesus is inviting him to come back and going, it's okay. It's okay. So he says to Peter, do you love me? What does Peter say? Jesus says that to you. What does Peter say to Jesus? Does he love Jesus? Yes, he does. And he asks him three times, because Peter said he didn't know Jesus three times. And it's like he's undoing what he did, isn't he? And so each time Peter says, yes, I love you. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. Interesting. Does Jesus have sheep? Who are Jesus' sheep? Oh, there's one. Who are Jesus' sheep? Because Jesus is the shepherd who looks after all of these sheep. We are his sheep. And so when he says to Peter, look after my sheep, feed my sheep, he's talking about us. His sheep. Okay. And so that's, they sit and they have breakfast with Jesus. And it's a time for Peter of being restored, isn't it? A time of being encouraged. And even though he's messed up, it's okay with Jesus again, isn't it? Jesus has forgiven him. Okay. So we'll pause there with that bit of the story. I'll move the boat. Good. Okay, so the title of our talk this morning is Breakfast on the Beach. I'm not sure that I'd have tuna sandwich for breakfast. But I did choose this talk because actually breakfast with God has been a bit of a theme of mine for many years. It is probably my favorite meal of the day. I have to say I rarely miss breakfast. And many years ago, when mornings were very full of little children getting ready for the school run, trying to find bags, PE kits, reading books, all of that stuff, getting kids up and fed and out the door in time for school. And actually we had pony, we had chickens, we had animals to feed, guinea pigs, random things over the years. And I was going to work, and sometimes my work was very last minute because I did supply teaching. So sometimes it was like I didn't think I was going to work and then they'd ring and suddenly I was. So it could feel a bit rushed in the mornings. And I know that some of you, especially those of you with children, can identify with that, can we get everybody out on time feeling. Sometimes I think Sunday mornings feel a bit like that for those of us with children. And I was struck this morning, I had a picture of Jesus sat at the table with a cup of coffee, kind of watching me rushing around like a headless chicken, just waiting. And it was like he was saying, I'm here, I'm waiting for you. And it was like he was ready to sit with me and have that cup of coffee with me. And I was ignoring him completely. And so since that time, I was really struck. It was really kind of, it hit me, that picture. And so since that time, I've made a conscious effort to kind of do breakfast with Jesus. It isn't always a long breakfast. Sometimes it's literally, let's have a cup of coffee and go. But I make a conscious effort to turn my attention towards God first thing in the morning. It's good to start the day from that place of connection with God, to start the day from that place of actually rest. So the story that we're looking at this morning is in John 21, and it's verses 1 to 17. And what I'm going to do is read the story and just share some thoughts as we go. So afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. Actually, I wondered as I read that how they were feeling. Their emotions must have been all over the place. Jesus was dead, and now he was alive, and some of them had seen him, and some of them hadn't. And it was like their emotions must have been everywhere. Some of them were confused, some of them were hopeful, some of them were not sure whether to be hopeful. And when you're in a time of emotional turmoil, actually a lot of us turn to things that are familiar, that are comfortable, that we know, it kind of feels like something's safe again. And so Peter says, I'm going out to fish. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat. And that night they'd fished all night and they'd caught nothing. And I was struck as I read through this of how many remember when moments there are in this passage. And so for me, this was one of the remember when this happened before. They'd been fishing all night, and then Jesus came and told them on that occasion to go out into deep waters, and they got some fish. Remember when? And it's like Jesus wants to say to you this morning as I read this, remember when. That was the time when Jesus called them to follow him. I wonder if they were reminded of that. So early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. Actually, Jesus came to where they were. They were at the Sea of Galilee, and he came to where they were. He's the initiator of this meeting. He's the one who makes this meeting happen. Actually, he's always been the initiator of the meeting with him. From the very, very beginning, if you know Jesus this morning, he has initiated all of it. He came from heaven to earth to die for you. He came to find you. It says he came to seek and to save the lost. Actually, we sang it this morning. He came to find you. We often talk about, I've found God, but actually, he came and found you. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, he's saying, I'd like to meet you. I'd like to know you. I'd like to sit down with you and get to know you. So Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't realize that it was Jesus. That's another remember when moment for us who've read the Bible. Remember when on the Emmaus Road, the disciples didn't recognize Jesus. Actually, when you've been dead and been resurrected, clearly you look different. And for those of us who Jesus has brought back to new life, we look different. Your lives change and you look different. So he called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? Do you think he knew? I think he probably knew that they'd fished all night and had no fish. Actually, when Jesus asks us a question, it's almost like, get ready, something's coming. He has a point to his questions. No, they answered. So he said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. Pretty much all the translations say on the right side of the boat. And I don't know if you know that the right side of the boat is called the starboard side, and it's because that's the side where the steering mechanism is, or was. So to throw the fishing nets over the right side of the boat didn't make a lot of sense, because actually they potentially could have got tangled in the steering mechanisms. You fished from the other side of the boat. It was counterintuitive. It wasn't something that you would normally do. And I think sometimes when Jesus gives us the answer to things, when we ask him to solve our problems, we go, what? That doesn't make sense. And often he asks us to do things that don't initially make sense, but we have to trust him. So when they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. And for you this morning, if you have a problem like that, Jesus has a strategy. The first time that it happened, he told them to go out into deep water. This time, he said, fish from the other side of the boat. A change of position. I wonder this morning what his strategy for you would be in your situation. He does have a solution, but it won't necessarily be the same as last time you were in a similar situation. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. He recognized Jesus because of the miracle. And actually, when miracles happen, it's to point to Jesus. Miracles are not about standing here and going, wow, I'm amazing. Look at that. I've prayed for that person and they got better. Miracles make people think of Jesus. Miracles point to him. So as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he'd taken it off. I saved us from that bit with Teddy. And he jumped into the water. Another remember when moment. Do you remember when Jesus jumped into the water to walk on the water to Jesus? He's the same Peter. His heart is still in the same place. No matter what he's gone through, he's still the impulsive Peter. He's still the one who is called towards Jesus. There's still that pull. His heart is still for Jesus. So the other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals. In some translations, it talks about a charcoal fire. And actually, there's only one other time when there's a charcoal fire in Scripture, and that's when Jesus was being questioned and Peter was outside warming himself around the charcoal fire. And I wonder if there was a remember when for Peter as he smelt that charcoal fire. I wonder if it reminded him of that moment and made him feel a bit like, I messed up. So they saw a fire of burning coals with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you've just caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. No mean feat, I have to say. It was full of large fish, 153. I love those little details in Scripture. There was 153 fish. It's a random detail, isn't it? Actually, I wonder if it is random. I wonder if there's things that God could say to us through the number of fish. I bet there are people that God would speak to about that specific number, because God doesn't put any detail into Scripture for no reason. But with even so many of them, the net was not torn. That was probably another miracle. So Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. So I literally have breakfast with Jesus every morning. There is that call every morning. Actually, when I wake up in the morning, it's like I hear him saying, come and have breakfast. And I get my breakfast and I sit down with Jesus. I wonder what you're eating first thing in the morning. We can spend a lot of time contemplating whether it's healthy or whether it's not healthy, whether we've got the right eggs or the bacon or the porridge or the whatever it is. But actually, I wonder what we're eating spiritually in the mornings as well. Is your first thought your phone and what the news is saying or that? Or is your first thought your emails? Or is what is your first thought in the morning? How are you starting your days? How are you feeding yourself in the mornings? I think it's critical, actually, how you start your day. And actually to sit with Jesus and allow him to speak into your day before it starts. Allow him to tell you what he thinks about you and what he has planned for your day before it all starts bombarding you is really good. If you can only manage 5 minutes, that's great. But I actually predict that when you do, it'll get longer. I don't know where my mornings go, and it doesn't seem to matter how much time I have with him. They go really fast. There is no record in this passage of him mentioning their failures. Actually, they all had failed. We focus on Peter, but all the disciples fled. They all abandoned him. He doesn't seem to mention it. He sits with them, and he eats. Actually, Jesus is really practical. They've been fishing all night, and they're tired, and they're probably hungry. And what they need is something to eat. Jesus is really practical. It's really difficult to focus on spiritual things when you're physically struggling, when you're in pain, when you're tired, when you're hungry. It's really hard to focus on spiritual issues. In the Lord's Prayer, the order is interesting. It says, give us our daily bread, before it says, forgive us our sins. I find that interesting. It's like the physical needs are sorted before the spiritual needs. There's more to it than that, obviously. But it's a thought, isn't it? Jesus is interested in our physical needs. None of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. So Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them. And he did the same with the fish. There's another remember when moment. When was the last time Jesus sat down with them all together and ate? It was the Last Supper. And he took bread and gave it to them then. There's another memory for them. And remember, actually, when he multiplied the bread and the fish, so they had loads of fish sandwiches. These memories, I don't know if it does it for them, but for me, when I sit and do remember when with Jesus, it stirs me up, it encourages me, it builds me, it reminds me of what I've experienced, it reminds me of what I've learned, and of his faithfulness. So this was now the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. And when they'd finished eating, then Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? There is no mention of how he failed. We spend hours concentrating on our failure. We spend hours praying, God, help me not to do this again. I'm sorry for this. And there's a place for repentance and there's a place for godly repentance and forgiveness. I'm not saying that. But we spend so long analyzing our failure and thinking about it and trying desperately not to do it and not to go back there and struggling with the temptations. And it becomes this huge thing that we're trying to deal with, especially for things that we struggle with again and again and again. But Jesus isn't focusing on that in this passage. Jesus is focusing on, Peter, I have a job for you to do. He's re-envisioning him. He's setting him back on track. He's saying to him, yes, you failed, but actually, this is what I've got planned for you. I need you to do this for me. Is your heart in the right place? Do you still love me? Then we're good to go. And so there is forgiveness. There is restoration, but actually there is a repurposing of him. And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. And a third time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. He does know all things. He knows Peter's heart. He knows how it is with him. He predicted Peter's fall. He knew that despite his protests, he wasn't strong enough to overcome his fear at that point. He also knows that given the power of the Holy Spirit that he knows is coming, that actually Peter will be able to rise to the call on his life. He knows that Peter will stand on that day of Pentecost and preach, and 3,000 people will be saved. He knows what's in Peter actually better than Peter does. And it's the same for us. He knows your heart. He knows your circumstances. He knows exactly what is going on in your life today. Every single thing. He knows you. And in some ways, he knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows what's in us. We often think that we are not in all sorts of ways. We can't. I couldn't. It isn't me. I can't do that. I've messed up. I'm not good enough. But he knows what's in us. And with his power, we can. So at this point, he's pointing Peter and actually the others back in the right direction. He's reminding them all of things that he's taught them, things they've been through, things they've experienced with him. And he's encouraging them to keep walking forwards towards the future that he's given them and towards the purpose that he's called them for. So this morning, God is saying to you, remember when. He's reminding you of your history with him. Remember when. There are things in your life that those of you who've walked with Jesus for any time at all have experienced with him. There are things that he's walked through with you. And you can say, I remember Jesus when you healed me, saved me, rescued me, protected me, provided for me. There are things that you can say, I remember. For those of you who have no history with Jesus yet, he's initiating that meeting today. He's saying, I'd like to start. Come and sit with me. Actually, he's calling all of us to come and sit with him, to start the day with him, to connect with him, to eat of his goodness, to eat at his table. He has a banqueting table of goodness for us to sit and eat with him. He has everything on that table that you might need. And he wants this morning to re-envision you, to remind you that you have a future and a purpose. And in the place of failure, those of you who are feeling like you've failed in some way, he's not brushing it under the carpet. He's not pretending that it didn't happen. He's not saying it's not important. But he is saying there is restoration, there is forgiveness, and you still have a future and you still have a purpose. And in the place of defeat, those of you who feel like the disciples where we fished all night and nothing's happened. In that place of stuckness, of fruitlessness, he has a strategy. He has an answer to whatever that place of stuckness is. So come. This morning he says, come.